So what is your name? Are you glad? You know, you're not in front of too many people right now. If you're watching this virtually, maybe yourself, maybe some family, other family members. Go ahead, say your name. What is it? Say it out loud. Say it proud. I'm Scott Walters. Do you know that God also knows your name? Do you know that God knows you? You might be a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or none of the above. It really doesn't matter a hoot to God. That's not the kind of name that God really cares about. You might be divorced. You might be widowed. You might be straight or gay or transgender. That's not a name that God really cares about all that much either. God knows you by your name. God knows who you are. Sometimes our parents can actually do a sort of a disservice when naming us. And I recently came across a list of actual names that people gave to their children. And one wonders why they did it, but here are a few of the names. Chris B. Bacon, or Douglas Fir, or Adam Apple, or Aaron Tires, or Dwayne Pipes. Or one that I actually remember from my own experience when I was a sophomore in high school at Lincoln High School in Wisconsin Rapids, taking a sophomore botany class. And the second semester, we had a student teacher, and his name was Jim Close. Like Jim Close. And most of the time, parents are very cautious to pick out a name that maybe means something, or sometimes they'll check into the nicknames that kind of are given to kids sometimes to be cautious about that sort of thing. And so they're very, very thoughtful in choosing names, because our names become a part of who we are, and they become a part of our very identity, and they sort of define who we are. Now the world, the outside world, sometimes gives us names as well. Sometimes, maybe I should be more accurate and say that the world sometimes gives us labels for each one of us. And sometimes I suppose these labels are helpful in defining who we are. But more often than not, I would say that they are not. You know, a liberal or conservative or socialist or a political party or pro-life, pro-choice, anti-growth, pro-growth, all of those sorts of labels are sometimes not helpful. Actually, they don't define us to who we are, but they simply show us what somebody thinks, what group that we're a part of. And they may be, or they may not necessarily be accurate. It seems to me that labels are very different than names. Labels group things together by their sameness, how they're like with each other. But names distinguish us by our uniqueness, and they give a sense of uniqueness to who we are. Even the word Christian can be misused as a label instead of a name. I remember, for example, in college, sitting outside between classes reading when two students approached me with Bibles in their hands. And they asked me, just point blank, am I a Christian? And I told them, yeah, I was a Christian. And then they proceeded to sort of interrogate me about what it meant to be a Christian and what kind of answers I gave to their questions. And it seemed like whatever answers I gave were lacking. They were not up to what's to their stuff and what they expected of what a Christian can be. And they told me that I wasn't a Christian after all. And the clincher for them was the way in which I was baptized, because I was baptized as an infant, and I was sprinkled with water instead of immersed in Duncton water by a Methodist pastor whose theology probably would have been found wanting by these young Christians as well. And therefore, they said, if I really wanted to be saved, if I wanted to really be a Christian, then I needed to be baptized their way and only their way. And what those young Christians really didn't understand is that there are a whole variety of ways of being Christian, that there are different ways of coming and understanding God and being in connection and relation to God, and that there are many understandings of what happens in this act of baptism. And it goes all the way back to those banks of the Jordan River when a carpenter by the name of Jesus appeared from being so obscure to being baptized by this man, John, who was gathering a lot of people following him by offering this baptism of repentance. So for 30 years or more, Jesus kind of lived a normal, obscure life like most of us do. Sure, his birth had been unusual. That certainly is true. We just celebrated that a few weeks ago. But he became a regular person and then appeared before John to offer himself up for this baptism. So who was Jesus beforehand? What names mattered to him? What labels did he bear before he went down to the River Jordan that day to meet with his cousin John and be baptized by him? Now, according to the scripture lesson that I shared with you a little while ago, John actually didn't want to baptize Jesus. He had thoughts about maybe he should not baptize Jesus because he knew that there was something special about Jesus, that indeed, if anything, maybe it's the other way around, that Jesus should be baptizing John. But Jesus insisted that John baptize him. And you know, I think I know the reason why. For as Jesus came up from the water, the voice of God was heard to say, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." God recognized Jesus there in the water. And God's plan progressed there in the water, in the Jordan River. And I don't think that God was all that concerned about or worried about John's credentials, about whether he was good enough to offer this baptism. God wasn't concerned about the depth of the water, or how much water was used at all, about the words that were being said by John. I don't think God was concerned about any of the details about the event, but what God cared about was that Jesus was named, and that name was claimed by Jesus. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, some people think that something magical happens at the time of baptism. Some people think that it's a time of cleansing. Sometimes it's the idea of the washing away of sins. Some people say that it's about dying and rising again out of that depth of the water. Some people think that it's simply a time of initiation, a gateway, a beginning point into the Christian faith and the Christian walk. Some people think that it's that one necessary key that sort of unlocks the door to salvation, and that without this sacrament, one is indeed condemned to damnation. Some people think that baptism is just something you do to keep your grandparents and maybe your parents happy. Let me tell you what I think. I think that it's more than all of these things, and much more than some. Because when we are baptized, we are reminding ourselves And we are reminding others of a great, amazing, wonderful truth that simply God knows our name. God recognizes us. Despite all of these labels that people use to kind of put us into groups or lump us with other people, God knows specifically who you are. God knows you. And God knows me. And that because of that, we are all children of God. Baptism is a mystery that reveals who we are. God washes away all that hides us from God. And we stand before God, washed and cleansed. And God says to us, he says, "You are my children. I want to have that connection with you forever." And God says something else too. God says, "I love you. I love you." And when Jesus came up out of the water, God said, "This is my son. This is my beloved child." You see, baptism is a confession of our belief that God loves us and that God knows us no matter who we are, no matter what we've done or not done in the past, no matter what our future may hold. God knows us and God loves us. And we are, each one of us, beloved children of God. And from the moment of our conception to the moment that we return into the hands and love of God, for all of the eternity of our existence and being, we are beloved. You see, the act of baptism is a symbol of faith, a recognition on our part that all that God has already done in this creation of ours, and also of our salvation as and when we claim it. And as we participate in worship, as we name the person being baptized, whoever that happens to be, as we recite the promises, and as we pledge to honor the name that has been given, we are simply following the footsteps of Jesus, who, as a sign to all, went down into the water, and when he arose, God spoke. Your name is beloved. I invite you today, in the light of this baptism of Jesus, to claim your name, just as Jesus claimed his, to remember your baptism and give thanks. Amen.